We're going to be reading with the help of the Lord, meditating upon the book of Daniel. So if you can turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And the story that we're going to be talking about is a very well-known story of Daniel when he's thrown into the lion's den. So open your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Before we start reading, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness. We want to thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, for being good. We want to thank you for being there for us. Even in times, Lord, when we can't feel you, when we can't see you, when we don't know that you're there, but we trust in you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for your message this morning and ask and pray that you would remove those things that would distract us from listening to your word. And Lord, that the words that would come out from your servant's mouth would not be one of his own, but one that you would place upon his lips. One that you would place upon my lips, that all glory would not be to me, but that glory would be to you, Father in heaven. We pray for those that are not here, perhaps because of their illness, their sickness, or those that just didn't want to be here. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at, that you would convict them. Lord, that you would uplift them and that you would strengthen them. Again, Heavenly Father, we uplift the Sorokovsky family and we support them, Lord, as they've lost their mother. And Lord, we know that there's a place in heaven for them. I'm sorry, for her. And just pray that, Lord, we would be there for each other and help each other. Bless your word and the reading of it, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was going to label this morning's message, I would label it standing strong. And that's what I want you to think about as we meditate on God's word this morning hour. Standing strong. Daniel 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then Daniel was preferred above his presidents and princesses, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, that they could find no accusation nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princesses assembled them together to the king and said to him, "Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of God or man for 30 days, O save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Let me reread that. "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and assign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petitioner of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now when the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him as his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from these lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they may not hurt me, they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee. O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had their mastery of them. And they break all their bones in pieces ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt on the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivered, and he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So to kind of give an idea of where Daniel was at this time, you know, it's kind of been a while since we've talked about Israel being in captivity 70 years. Daniel was approximately 15, 16, something like that, when he was part of that captivity, that group of the Jewish people, the Israelites that were into captivity with Babylon. And if you remember, one of the first challenges Daniel had was he proposed within his heart that he would not eat of the king's meat from the table when they were meat that was offered to sacrifices and so forth. And there was a challenge that was put forth that he said that, you guys eat your meat, we're going to eat something completely different. I believe it was just vegetables. And there was a challenge that within 10 days, we will see what the countenance was, how we looked, whether we looked better than you or we lost all this weight and what you know, it was a challenge for them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the names. And that was the first challenge, first of many that Daniel incurred. Being in Babylon for 70 years, he was taken hostage, exiled to Babylon. He lived in a community of unclean people. He served under four pagan kings. And throughout his time, he had, Scripture tells us, an extraordinary spirit. Here's a man that at this time was approximately about 80 years old, 82, 85, 83, somewhere around, scholars really don't know. But he's been through a lot. And prior to this, we know that he was under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, After Nebuchadnezzar, he was under the reign of Belshazzar. And God gave him a gift of interpretation. And there was some of the events that have taken place where, I think it was the last one where Belteshazzar was with his friends, they were eating, and there was a handwriting on the wall. A hand came out, and all of a sudden, this writing on this wall, these words appeared. And we know the fear and the terror that was there. And the king asked and said, "Who can interpret what this means?" And none of them could interpret it save Daniel. And it happened one other time where the king had a dream and he called his astrologers and his soothsayers and his magicians and said, "I had a dream, but the dream is gone. I don't remember it. But there's something that's sticking with me, and I want you to tell me what that is." And none of them could interpret it. None of them could tell him what this dream was. They said, "Well, there's a man named Daniel. He should be able to do that." And they said, "There's nobody that can interpret something. If you don't remember what your dream is, how am I going to interpret that?" Daniel said, "Give me the night. In the morning, I will tell you what the dream was." And he went to the Lord and he prayed. And the Lord revealed to him that night. And the next morning he went and he told the king what was going to happen. And that dream actually was the fulfillment of what was written in Jeremiah, where when the time for exile happened, when the children of Israel went into exile, he says, "Look, you're going to be in exile for 70 years. But I want you to live. I want you to build homes. I want you to have children. Life is going to continue on. But you're not going to have the freedom that you had." 70 years later, the dream comes back to the king, and Daniel interprets the dream and says, "You know what? Your kingdom is going to be removed from you." And that's exactly what happened. And who took over from Babylon was the Medes and the Persians. And that brings us to the king today in this chapter, Darius. As I was reading, Darius, some of the scholars are saying, he wasn't King Darius, but it was just a name. It was a name of a person. Some people think that he was actually King Cyrus. It was like he was maybe a prince or a king, but they called him King Darius. In any event, when we read the scripture, it says here, in first verse, that it pleased Darius to set the kingdom of 120 princes which should rule the whole kingdom. They had a government already established, but Darius was now in the process of changing this ruling, this government. And he started off with 122 princesses that should rule over the whole kingdom. And then there were three presidents, scripture tells us, to oversee them. And he set this up, why? Because he didn't want, or so that they wanted, he didn't want to suffer any damages. And in other words, there were a lot of crooked people. He didn't want any of them skimming off the top what was his. He wanted accountability. And one of those three were Daniel. However, 70 years later, when Daniel is now 80-something years old, even in the many years later, he was favored. He was successful. But Darius wanted him to be the ruler over all of them. Scripture tells us, and they wouldn't have it. Scripture tells us that Daniel was distinguished. He set himself above everybody else. Being a man of God, he was distinguished. He was successful due to his excellent spirit. However, he had a lot of enemies by virtue of jealousy. So they set this plot against him. They want to frame him. They propose a royal statue, a firm decree. They go to the king and they tell the king, listen, we are want to set something up that nobody bows to any god or man except for you for 30 days. The king thought about it for a minute and he said, okay, that sounds good. Let's do that. And I want you to think about what just happened there. He was blindsided and he didn't even know it. He walked into a trap and didn't even know it. And he signed this decree. Have you and I ever been in a situation like that? Where somebody had a different agenda. We weren't thinking right. Maybe we had something else on our mind. And, hey, I need you to do this for me. And at that time, yeah, it sounds really good, right? And then afterwards, you go back and say, uh-oh, what have I done? And as he signs this decree and it goes out, Daniel gets wind of it. Verse 10. Look at verse 10 with me. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. You see, Daniel had a routine. He had a routine that he would go to the window and that he would pray to God, to his God, 3 times a day. He didn't care what anybody said. He didn't care who saw him. And his focus was on his relationship with God. And he did this as he's always done. He wasn't intimidated. And this is kind of where the theme "stand strong" kind of hit me. Because they assembled themselves and they saw Daniel praying and they go to the king and they tell the king, King, listen, you made a decree. And according to the Medes, according to the Persians, once you make this decree, you cannot alter it. You cannot change it. Is this correct? Yes, it is. Well, guess what? There's a man named Daniel that's up there praying to his God. He now went completely against what you have put together. And this is where the king had one of those moments where he just said, what did I do? You see, he had a relationship with Daniel. He liked Daniel. He knew that Daniel was different than all the other presidents. Otherwise, he wouldn't make him or want to make him ruler over all of them. Scripture in verse 14 says he was sore displeased with himself. But he signed it. We see that Darius was a man of integrity. If he did something, he didn't like it, but he kept his word. But he was in agony. It didn't sit well with him. Scripture tells us that he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. In other words, he dragged his feet because he really didn't want to do this. He really didn't want to take Daniel because he knew Daniel was praying to a God that would deliver him. And at the end of the evening, they went and delivered Daniel, picked up Daniel, and they took him and they put him in the den, the lion's den. But what else is interesting is because Darius had this relationship with God, with Daniel, and he knew Daniel's relationship with God. And you can see how he said here, he said, "The God whom thou servest continuously, he will deliver you." Even though he knew he had to do that, he had hope. And then when they threw him in the lion's den, they put a big rock and he sealed it. He had to seal it with his own signet, which is that ring that they would put on a wax so that they know that this king put this rock here and he's the one that established it. But see, even though he knew that Daniel had a God that would deliver him, that could deliver him, and you look at, and we read all the things that God has done in the past when he was in the fiery furnace, and the ability to interpret dreams. And now, he's in the den of lions. I know he can do it, but is he going to do it? Do we have that kind of faith too? Do we know that God, and trust that God will do it? But will he do it? You see, he had a rough night. He went to his palace. He was fasting. He didn't eat. There was no music being played. And he said the sleep went away from him. He couldn't sleep. And perhaps he can hardly wait for the dawn of the morning. He got up and ran over to the lion's den, and he yells at him and says, "Daniel, servant of the living God, whom you serve continuously, whom you serve continuously, able to deliver you from the lions, did your God save you? Are you alive?" And Daniel said, "The God, my God, has sent his angels and has shut up the mouth of the lions, that they hurt me not." And we can see the relief that went over Darius. When he's in the mouth of in the den of the lions, his enemies thought, "We're done with him. We don't have to deal with him anymore. We can do things the way we want to do it." But that changed. Those verses again, hymn 177, because they fit so beautifully. Perhaps when Daniel was praying, when he heard of that decree, perhaps he read these words, if they were there, the song, "I place myself in Jesus' hand, and there I'll stay forever. Nor grief nor joy shall lose these bands, nor this our union sever. Were all the world to chaos hurled, who holds to him by him is held, is kept securely ever." And as I was reading this where Daniel was praying, you know, this wasn't the first time that he was accused of doing something wrong. You know, we can say this is not the first time at the rodeo. But he stood strong. He didn't change. He knew the decree of the king. He knew that there were those that were after him. But he stood strong and did what he did three times a day. This lesson is for all of us. Last week, we were in Vista. And I had the message at Vista that was pertaining to the kids at school. I asked my family if I can recycle the sermon, and they said no. But this is, pertains to all of us. When you're at school, where is your faith? What do you believe in? And the encouragement is to stand strong. When you're at work, what do you believe in? Where is your faith? Stand strong. Just as Daniel did. We know that following this event, the anger came across Darius. And what did he do? Those that accused him, he had those people, their wives and their children, cast into the lion's den. Into the lion's den. And I go back to this prayer that Daniel was praying. And he prayed once again, once before. Whether the lion eats him, he wins. Because when he knows he's going to be with God, he knows that there's a God that's going to protect him. He knows that there's a God that's going, he knows where he's going when he dies. If he doesn't, he still wins. He wins against his enemies. So when things get tough, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, stand strong. Prayer is effective. See, when he was praying, and I appreciate it, it was in Bible class this morning, Romans 8:15. We're encouraged and said, because it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." In other words, when things get tough, don't be afraid. Don't let fear grip you, because then you become stiff. You can't move. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You see, we have a way. We have an avenue. When things are tough, we can always go to God the Father. We can always go to our Father, and He will make a way. Now, may not be your way, but there will be a way. He will save you. There are a couple of principles we can take from this chapter. Daniel maintained his standards. He had a standard that he did not deviate from. He prayed 3 times a day. He didn't give in to peer pressure. He did what was right, what he knew was right in God's eyes, not his eyes, but God's eyes. Daniel's security was in God. It wasn't in the people. It wasn't in the numbers. But his security was in God. He knew where his security was. When Daniel's life was in danger, he didn't compromise. He didn't fight back. He didn't run away. Because his position was not in wealth. Even though Darius wanted to make him ruler over that kingdom. God always has a higher purpose for you and for me. You know, sometimes we question, Lord, why am I going through these trials? Why am I going through these tests? Why am I being tempted so much? He has a higher purpose. Even in Daniel's loneliest hours, God's there and he has a purpose. His faith was very strong. Due to his faith, he proposed in his heart not to defile himself, as we talked about earlier, and even in his golden years. His faith was just as strong at 81 or 82 as it was when he was 18. Daniel was a man with excellent spirit. He was without fault. He was faithful to those that were over him. He was committed to prayer throughout his life. And he was willing to obey God rather than man. And he was a man who believed in God. In closing, remember that God is always with us and for us. The Apostle Paul said, neither death nor life nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, 38, 39. And it is my prayer that today, as we've talked about Daniel and we look into his example, not that it's just a children's story, but one that we can think on, the one that we can reflect and look at our lives. And in times of adversity, are we standing strong? In times of trials, in times of temptation, are we standing strong? Can we be easily swayed because of number, because of this group of people saying this or saying that? It's my prayer that we stand strong. May God bless his word.